Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
This is a journey.
About it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo. Bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice, roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome, welcome to the Collision Fun Drive Edition. We got actually an amazing show this week. I wait till you hear this. But first and foremost, we also have Etan Thomas with us. What's up, Etan?
How you doing, Dave? How you doing, Chuck? Everybody good?
Yeah, yes,
everybody
yes.
Good.
Chuck, you're feeling good, Mr. Chuck Modiano?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. And we've got Katia Stitz going to help us pledge. People can support WPFW at 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org. But we've got a very special show because in just a few minutes, we're going to have on a labor leader, a Palestinian solidarity leader, and really a resistance leader at a very difficult time in this country. So, you know, people like this are truly precious. You know his name. It's Christian Smalls. Can you tell us, Chuck, why Christian's going to be on the show?
Christian's going to be on the show to talk about a rally tomorrow at the AFL-CIO.
What's the rally about?
I want to go say more, but I want to let Chris say more. The only thing cherry on top to Chris's resume is I want to say he's also a diehard Knicks fan. So I'm going to throw that in here because we are a sports and politics show.
Well, speaking of sports and politics and speaking of, frankly, money, we got to talk about just at the top of the show before Chris comes on, just very breaking news right now. FBI arrests. And this is, of course, Cash Patel's FBI. I'll just say that. But FBI arrests of Portland Trailblazers coach Chauncey Billups, NBA Hall of Famer, as well as players Terry Rozier and Damon, and now I believe assistant coach Damon Jones, involved in gambling, involved in the apps, and involved in all the things we see advertised 24/7. And it's big enough news that I just wanted to say one sentence about it and give y'all a sentence about it before Chris comes on. I mean, because this is huge news. And the one thing I would say about it is the NBA, frankly, ahead of other sports, but the NBA, Adam Silver, they have embraced what I call the addiction economy. And if these charges do turn out to be accurate, and they, of course, have the right to defend themselves against it, but let's be honest, it does not look good. If these charges are accurate, I think that we cannot let the economy of how these leagues are operating get off the hook, because it's so wild to me that this is our reality now. where you got teenagers betting. You've got, of course, hyper-competitive players. I mean, we all know stories back in the day of players betting thousands of dollars on the plane, playing some cards. Why should we be surprised if the addiction economy sweeps up others? So, Etan, that's just what I wanted to say. I really hope we don't lose the structural argument as this goes forward.
I mean, there's a lot with this. I mean, and I'm, you know, looking at the NCAA, and they just formally approved pro sports betting rule for student athletes and staff across all divisions, Division 1, 2, and 3. And I just think it's a setup for some terrible stuff to happen. I mean, I don't, you know, I see the advertisements. You know, NBA has really wrapped his arms around gambling. You see it every commercial, every app, everything like that, you know, and it's like there was bound for something bad to happen with people who are involved in the sport. Like, I don't know. You can't just promote it the way that you are and then feel shocked that people within the sport are going to participate in what you're promoting. I don't know. And I know a lot of facts still remain to be, you know, put out, but and for NCAA, I think it's horrible that you open the door for these college kids. It's just, I don't know. It's a recipe for destruction, in my opinion.
Destruction and disaster, for sure. Your thoughts, Chuck?
I couldn't agree more with both you and Etan. We have to talk about structure. You know, ABC breaks this story. Well, ABC is also part of Disney, which is ESPN, and ESPN is a partner with the NBA. There's a lot of complicated things. ESPN has its own betting site, ESPN Bets. You can't turn on ESPN without them talking about the spread anymore. Scott Van Pelt has a show. They talk about the spread when you missed it. We can't have a discussion, no matter what facts come out. We can't have a discussion about just Chauncey Billups and Terry Rozier. They cannot be limited to that. We need to talk about the big dogs. And I feel the same way, and the same way for years. We were locking up young black kids for drug offenses until marijuana is legal and a lot of rich white people make billions of dollars. So I think it's that similar dynamic, and we need to really stay on top of it. And we will on this show on The Collision.
Well, I hear you, Chuck. I do think we would do well to distinguish, though, between, you know, kids selling drugs, because, you know, a lot of time that's just about survival.
Sure.
And I think this is much more, I mean, these are wealthy athletes. And I think this much more, if this comes to pass, has to do with addiction. And now I agree with you, which is very real. And I don't, that part I don't want to discount, because I feel like they are preying on the what we know is a scientific ability to get people addicted chemically to these processes.
That's right.
And I don't want to lose that structural aspect of it and the greed aspect of the league as well.
And one last note to what Etan said, if you're moving to the NCAA, that's not million-dollar athletes right there. That is ripe for you to try to make a dollar on the side. And I wouldn't be above, I don't know if it's unethical if everyone else is making money and you're not. I think it's a recipe you could almost guarantee that you're going to see fixing because you set it up.
Yeah, in addition to that, the correlation that you made, you know, or the young kids of selling, you know, drugs and selling weed to survive and stuff like that, there's a correlation to that when it goes to the NCAA. So now that they've opened it up to the NIL, it's set across all divisions. Division 3 doesn't have the same NIL as Duke and Syracuse. You know what I mean? There's different. Right. So those athletes there are looking for different things to be able to get by. People don't know that the ins and outs of Division 2 and Division 3 athletes. Sometimes their stuff isn't paid for. Sometimes they still have to pay for it, whether it's their books, whether it's their housing, whether it's something else. They have a different kind of a setup. So sometimes they will be struggling and trying to make ends meet to continue playing their sport. So if you add an element of sports betting to it, it's just a recipe for disaster. That's just not – I don't understand why the NCAA would even think about introducing this, to be honest with you. It's bad enough that the NBA has wrapped his arms around it. But for NCAA, it shouldn't even be a thought.
And I know we got to pitch, and I know we got to go to Chris, but – I have to build on what Etan said there, because the way the NIL structure is, you have quarterbacks who are 18, 19 years old getting like $1 million to go to a school. And then you have offensive linemen who are getting nothing and they have to block for that dude.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right. How is that not a recipe for corruption and disaster? in the sport itself. But I digress. I see we've got Chris Smalls on the line for Pledge Week. Such a huge deal. People can pledge 301-588-9739. 202! Sorry. Let's do that again. 202-588-9739. WPFWFM.org. Throwing it to Chuck Modiano to introduce our guest.
What a special guest. What a special guest. Chris Smalls. I know we've talked about him on the show a lot. So if you're a WPFW Collision listener, you already know about him. If you're in the union movement, you know about him. Chris Smalls is an American labor organizer. He's mostly known for leading an Amazon worker organization. Strike, and he is the co-founder and former president of the Amazon Labor Union, and that was a huge deal. That's taking on an absolute empire. And more recently, he has been involved in the Free Palestine movement. He was on magazine covers. He was loved by the Democratic Party, and the second he said Free Palestine, everybody ran and went away. But he went on the Freedom Flotilla, the Handala. You might have heard about it. He was arrested. Thankfully, he was not harmed at that time, and he is with us to help continue that mission, and in particular, continue that mission with a rally that goes on tomorrow, which is related to the AFL-CIO and Gaza. So, you know what? It is just wonderful. Chris, it's great to have you here. And we said your entire resume includes a diehard Knicks fan. So we love that too. How are you, Chris?
I'm good. Glad to be here. Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited about coming back to D.C. I'm on the plane as we speak. I wish I could be on camera, but I'm on the plane. So I'm trying to respect people's space and give y'all a quick summary and, you know, just give y'all a rundown of what's going on tomorrow. It's going to be a really big day of action.
Talk to us, please, Chris. What's going on tomorrow and why should people go?
Yeah. Tomorrow at 12 and Black Lives Matter Plaza, the one that Trump paved over. We'll be outside of the largest union federation in America, the AFL-CIO. It represents 12.5 million workers in America, the largest voice for the working class. This entity has been complicit when it comes to genocide for the last 2 years. They have completely fought against resolutions for Palestine. They have actively fought against resolutions condemning Israel for its war crimes. And I am, as a labor leader, like my brother Chuck just said, when I was on the flotilla in prison, when I was released, the entire labor movement, with the exception of a few locals and a few unions, this entity has been completely silent. So for us to shine a bright light on the largest entity that represents the working class, we got to hold them accountable. And our goal is to demand that they fully divest and also shut down the entire U.S. ports, just like our brothers and sisters in Italy, brothers and sisters in Greece, Spain, South Africa. They have already shown us the way. They're already leading by example. I was just in Italy last week, and it's time for the U.S. to catch up. And this is the one gateway opportunity to shine a bright light on them. And if we had to, we will escalate. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. But we're asking everybody in the D.C. DMV area to show up in person, help us hand deliver these demands. If not, sign and share our petition.
And could you repeat the time, please, Chris?
12 o'clock noon. Make sure somebody's home. You know, we wanted to do it on a weekday. I know a lot of people do demonstrations on the weekend when people are off. But we want to make sure that they're home, that we're able to walk in that building during business hours and hand deliver this petition that's signed by thousands of people.
Wow. I have 8,000 questions, but I've been talking. Chuck or Eitan, do you want to throw something out at Chris before you got to go?
Yeah, let's shoot something real quick. Can you remind the people of how you were treated on that? Because they you know, I've heard of, seen a few reports, and I've heard you talk about it a little bit. Just remind a little bit of people how you were treated, you know, by the Israeli government in particular.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 2 months ago, I was joined the Handala Flotilla, an initiative that has been happening for 17 years to deliver humanitarian aid. Out of the 21 volunteers, I was the only Black volunteer on board. So of course I was assaulted, thrown to the ground multiple times, choked, separated from my crew, thrown up against the wall. Racially, they definitely said some racially motivated things, saying that they're not like me. They're not like my skin color. They're not my brother. They weaponized, fooled against us, knowing we were on a hunger strike. They kept me in there out of the 14 of us that went to prison. They kept me in there the longest. They kept me on 24/7 lockdown, no outside communication. They lied to me every day. And last thing they did was, instead of taking me to Tel Aviv airport to be deported like the rest of them, they dropped me off at the border of Jordan. So I can confirm for everybody here today that's listening that, you know, they are a racist apartheid state. And once again, we have to break the illegal siege that Israel has imposed for over two decades.
Chris, first of all, if you're in any stress being on that airplane whatsoever and need to get off the line, we totally understand.
No, we're good.
Okay, good. You're on a friendly airplane.
Hey, man, you know what? Whether it's friendly or not, people need to hear the truth, you know?
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you. I have to ask, though, because I follow your comings and goings. I did not know you were in Italy, where there have been these general strikes in the name of ending apartheid. What did you see, and will you specifically be bringing the message to the demonstration that says, why is Italy doing what we are not? Like, very explicitly holding up that experience.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Yeah, I can show you. You can go on my Instagram and see I was out there leading protests. I was out there joining the workers who shut down the entire economy, from Amazon workers to dock workers to everyday civilians. But most importantly, the students and the younger generation is leading that movement. The students, I learned when I got over there to Italy, that the students occupied every single university and they occupied every single high school for Palestine, which is amazing to even know that that was possible. And knowing that, once again, the unions led this initiative. Unlike what we have here in America, the unions understand the working class issues. They understand grassroots movements. They're heavily involved in supporting the students at the university. They're very vocal. And when the unions called this action for a general strike, there wasn't no, oh, we got to wait for mutual aid, or we got to wait for infrastructure, or we got to wait for, you know, whatever. Everybody followed suit because they understood the assignment, that genocide is bad, and brought out 3 million people and put their entire country to an economic halt. And that was something that was very beautiful to be a part of. The solidarity speaks volumes. And of course, our media is not going to talk about it. So we had to, once again, I'm the bridge that's bridging the gap with international solidarity. Since I founded the Amazon Labor Union 3 years ago, I've been to over 45 countries around the world, just trying to connect the solidarity and bring it back here to the U.S. It's been a struggle, but slowly but surely, I'm definitely planting the seeds, and this action tomorrow is another way.
I got to ask you, though, Chris, you know, our audience is a very much a D.C., Maryland, Virginia audience.
Yeah.
Lot of people are hurting from the furloughs and the federal government being shut down. What do we say to those folks about why this issue, why Gaza matters?
Because what's happening over there can absolutely happen over here. You know, that's a testing ground. And right now, all of the billions of dollars of our taxpaying dollars is going there. So we all should be outraged. I went on the flotilla, not just as a trade unionist and not just as a black man, but as an American taxpaying citizen. And once again, when I was in prison, our own U.S. embassy did absolutely nothing. So this is out everybody's issue. And for those who are worrying about, you know, money and financial woes, I can assure you, speaking to somebody, about myself, I'm sitting here 5 years later, fired from Amazon without health insurance, without a job. I don't have an employment status, but I still get up every single day and do this work because I know there's no cavalry coming for us. and there's nobody coming to save us. No politician will ever be our savior. It's always going to be the power with the people. And that's what's going to keep us together. It's just building with your community, finding people that's like-minded, and leaning on them to, once again, to have all your needs met. Because, once again, the government is not going to wake up one day. The billionaire class is not going to wake up one day. Corporations are not going to wake up one day and say, hey, we want to give you guys what you need. We have to fight every step of the way.
Mm.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Yeah. So Chris, the San Diego and Imperial County Labor Council called for the recognition of genocide about a week or so after you came back, and they mentioned your name there. So I want to shout out their resolution. That said, we haven't seen that much more beyond that. Mm-hmm. You were in Italy. Could you elaborate a little more on the gaps of why Italy could have a general strike and do what they do, but we're so far away?
Yeah, for a number of reasons. First of all, our union density in America is in the gutter. We're talking single digits. The labor movement is very small. Even though we have a bunch of powerful victories and historic victories over the recent years, we're talking to less than 10% in the public sector, less than 6% in the private sector. Compared to other countries where they have 80, 90% union density, everybody's in the union. Not only that, these unions are socialist-led, they're communist-led. We absolutely don't have that in America. They have that embedded in their culture from their very inception. Unfortunately, we're fighting two battles at one time over here. We're a part of a two-party system that, obviously, this is a bipartisan genocide. We could talk about deportation. That's also bipartisan as well. And until we're able to escape the two-party system, we're nowhere near getting close to a general strike in this country. And as far as union membership, the unions in America are failing us. They're not organizing as much as we need them to organize. And we're not even talking about the threat of artificial intelligence, which is coming for all of our jobs. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Chris,
yeah, sorry about that.
Before you roll out, I got to ask you this. How have the Democrats supported you? That's one question, because, you know, it seemed like they were supporting at first, but then it was like, you know, you do too much and they kind of took their hands off, like they talked about in the intro. So how are they? And then two, and I know you've heard this from members of the Black community who say that this is not our fight. That go along and that is going on with Gaza, with genocide, with everything is not our fight. What is your response to them?
Yeah, two things. The Democrats never really supported me, which is it's amazing, because when we first started, nobody did, not even the labor movement. When we won, the day we beat Amazon, we had $2 in our bank account. But then the next day, we had $500,000, and then the whole bandwagon came, right? All of these progressives, Bernies, the AOCs. You know, I was invited to the White House. I was in the room with Joe Biden, Kamala, you name it. I met every progressive you could think of. And unfortunately, over the last 3 years, they have done the bare minimum for not even just my union, but for every worker. There hasn't been no federal laws about labor change since the 1960s. Joe Biden used the act from 1945 to go against the railroad strikers just 2 years ago. So these Democrats, these so-called progressives, are not doing anything for us. They didn't really support me. And absolutely, when I came back from prison, they didn't say anything either. There's only a select few that I spoke of. And that I can say Summer Lee and Rashida Tlaib were the only two that were really, really vocal about it. Everybody else, including Amon Dhani in New York, were completely silent. And as far as, I'm sorry, what was the second part again? It was about I got you. As far as the black community, I always throw this question back out there. You know, 5 years ago when George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery were murdered, they told the black community to sit this one out too, right? They told us to sit it out because it's time for white people to step up. So when you're talking about the Palestinian movement, they're telling us to sit this one out again, because that's how capitalism works. It divides people. It tells us that this is not our fight every single time, because they're fearful of people coming together. the way we beat Amazon, a $2.2 trillion company, was by bringing people together. The same thing the Palestinian movement is doing is bringing the world together. And that is their biggest fear of everybody in the world coming together for one common cause. So they're telling communities to sit this one out, and we absolutely cannot. And if you read history, which is not taught to us, you will go back and find out that the Black Panthers worked with the Palestinian Liberation Movement and hand in hand. Yes. And actually, they supported them very early on, first. Right. And not only the Black Panthers, but you can look at Nelson Mandela. You can look at Malcolm X, Kwame Ture, Assata Shakur, all of these folks in our movement, our ancestors that paved the way. They all spoke about the liberation of Palestine. I'm just trying to continue that legacy and do the best I can and connect these struggles as a Black man, as a trade unionist, and as an Amazon employee, knowing that Amazon has everything to do with this genocide as well.
Mm. Got to ask this, because we are trying to support WPFW. Why is listener-supported independent media so important in the current climate?
Because you guys tell the truth. You know, legacy media has been lying to us for a very long time, and I think it's catching up. Legacy media is dying. It's a dying breed. Mm-hmm. This is why the government is trying so hard to take over TikTok and social media and censor us, because they know that this is where people are going for their news now, and their media is independent journalism. It's podcasts, and it's not the regular legacy media, CNN and Fox anymore. So they understand that as well. And it's up to us to create our own propaganda on the left. We have to do it, you know, and we have to see more of it.
Amen to that. Yo, Chris Smalls. Oh, did you have one more question, Chuck?
I do, because you dropped a nugget. Chris, you dropped a nugget at the end of there that needs exploration. And that was that Amazon and what's going on in Gaza goes hand in hand. Can you please elaborate on that point?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they invested $7.2 billion into a project called Project Nimbus, which is the intelligence that is being used to target, surveil, and kill innocent people every day. They also have billion-dollar contracts with our own military-industrial complex. The Pentagon is right here. They have FBI, they have CIA, they have government military officials on payroll. And once again, their intelligence, the AWS, Amazon Web Services, is essentially the Iron Dome. It is the service that is being used, once again, to kill people every day.
Ooh, I hope people caught that. Yeah. AWS is essentially the Iron Dome. I don't think you could be more clear than that.
Goodness. Absolutely.
So Chris, before you leave, tell us again everything that's going on tomorrow, just so make sure that all of our listeners understand how they can be involved and what they're able to do. Are they able to go in with you to hand deliver everything? Like, just tell everybody how they can participate.
Yeah, absolutely. Tomorrow, 12 o'clock, Black Lives Matter Plaza, right in front of the AFL-CIO. At 12, we're going to deliver this petition that's circulating online. If you haven't seen it, please look on our social media platforms, especially mine's, whether it's Twitter, Instagram. We actually have a website as well. We just put it up. It's called disarmgenocide.org. You can go on that website right now. We are asking people to show up. If you're a trade unionist, this is your home. You can walk in that building. If you're a dues-paying member, you can walk in that building. Same thing with me. I already got the tour when I was praised for my Amazon work. They gave me the whole tour of the building. I met the president. Her name is Liz Schultz. We know who she is. We know who the leadership is, and we know who we need to hold accountable. And that's exactly what we have to do. So we're asking folks to show up in person if you're able-bodied. If you're not, please sign and share on your platforms. Spread it wild. This is just the beginning. This is not a one-off type of event. This is a warning saying that if they don't meet these demands, which is to fully divest, fully shut down the ports, we will be back. And I'm working with some of the folks in D.C. that set up the encampments. Hazami was well known. Chuck, I'm pretty sure you know. She will be the one that's going to be helping me out with logistics and I'm happy to be working with them on the long term. If need be, I will be back every single time to escalate until we have our demands met.
Well, you definitely have our support here. We're going to put this video out on our social medias, on WPFW. We'll share it to really promote what's going on tomorrow. And much respect to you for doing this and everything you care about. So nothing but respect for you, Chris.
Thank you, brother. Be safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was Chris Smalls, Amazon Union. Yo, everybody, this is the kind of work, formerly, of course, Amazon Union, now just doing the work that around Palestine and the labor movement. I just want to say to everybody that I really appreciate what Chris said about supporting independent media and legacy media and them going after TikTok. Independent media is so critical right now. Atan, you repeat often, and I'm not getting it in my head, the quote from Malcolm X, an internationalist who believed in a free Palestine. What did Malcolm say about the media?
He said the media is the most important entity in the world. They have the power to control the minds of the masses. They have the power to be able to make the guilty look innocent and the innocent look guilty. And that's power. And he talks about it all the time, and it's 100% true. We see that not just with Fox News and those right-wing places, but all the media. When you're talking about Palestine in particular, and they're covering the genocide, the way that it is covered on every media outlet in the United States, CNN, every single one, they don't tell the real story. I mean, they barely even say that it's an actual genocide, and that's barely. So, it's done for a definite reason.
And I'd like to add the money quote that we often see on flyers of Malcolm X, which he says, if you're not careful, the newspapers will have you hating the people who are being oppressed and loving the people who are doing the oppressing. And, you know, that couldn't be more true when we're talking about mainstream media today, particularly whether it's, Gaza and Palestine or here at home as we have these horrible, ICE raids or in police terror and whatnot. The other thing I wanted to add about Chris, which I really appreciate, he ended with, and I'm working with Hazami here, and, you know, Hazami has been, he met at a media encampment, and there was a media encampment down here. And here, let me tell you why that's important. One of the biggest criticisms and critiques of local organizers in DC is that people swoop in from all around the country, plan their own big protest media, and don't consult the local DC activists who've been in the street, who've been harassed by police, who've been harmed or been tear gassed or been hit with rubber bullets, and they skip over that. And it's a very legitimate criticism. But Chris came in the right way. The first thing he did is he went and he met the people on the ground. He spoke to the activists who've been fighting for years. And I believe that probably happened because that's what he was doing in with the union. He knows about encampments. He was part of an encampment that which is shown in the documentary Union, if you want to learn more about that Amazon fight. And that's very appreciated, and it's specifically appreciated by local DC activists.
Definitely true. Definitely. Chris being here makes a big difference. Without question, we do need more pledges for this time. I think one of the reasons why we usually pledge, because people love the collision. They love that we bring sports and politics together. They love that we're the most unique sports show in all of the DMV. But I think people were listening and riveted by Chris Small so much that maybe they were like, okay, let me listen first and then I shall pitch. So I wanted to throw it to Katia Stitt, if I could, who could perhaps speak about why we are the place where you hear the kinds of interviews that people need to support.
Well, thank you, Dave, and Eitan, and Chuck. And thank you, Chuck, for securing Chris Smalls. He is absolutely the truth, and it's wonderful to have him on our air again and again. He's been on, I think, three shows now, and I'm sure he'll be on more. Because his message is what we need. His message is so relevant. This is why he keeps coming up on our air. I do want to speak to one thing that was said, and what's so important for WPFW is that we, as he said it, we tell the truth. It's really that simple. And we tell the truth, and we bring the truth to you from the people who are most impacted. That's really important. We don't speak for them. We bring their voices to the air. So when we did the second year anniversary of the genocide, we brought voices from Gaza to our air. Yesterday we did Congo. We brought the voices organizing and mobilizing on the ground in Congo to our air. And that makes the difference, because when you hear it right from, as they say, the horse's mouth, it's a completely different thing. Then you get the full scope and the full weight of what they are going through. And of course, these three, I was going to say young men, but you all are young still compared to me, these three young men. They bring the truth as well. So we ask you to support the Collision this morning. This is the kind of media and the kind of programming that you have come to expect and respect from the Collision. We want to say thank you to Ibrahim out of Chantilly. He says he appreciates all the work that you do and please continue. Terry out of Upper Marlboro says, Chris Smalls, tying us all together on WPFW. Terry, that's what's up, right? It is one, as I made up a chant. I don't think it's mine. I think I might have heard it. But yesterday, you know, from DC to Congo to Palestine, occupation is a crime. That's what we're talking about. And so, you know, Terry, Chris, and Dee tied it all together. And WPFW ties it all together through our various programs, and especially the Collision. Every week they bring it. They tie it all together for us. And not only that, they give us the tools through these interviews and through their own reporting and their own work outside of WPFW. They give us the tools to understand how we need to move to support the movements that will liberate us all. So please, right now, $575 to go. We can do this together, folks. I say it a lot. It's a cliche, but it's very true. Many hands do make light work. And we know that many of you are furloughed right now. You're worried about whether you'll get back pay. Some are worried about being fired or have been fired. So we know it's not an easy time. In fact, it's a very difficult time. That's all the more reason we need to have the community of WPFW. That's all the more reason we need to hear the Collision and the truth telling that exists there. That's all the more reason you need to dig deeper if you can. If you can, that's the operative phrase there, to support the Collision right now. If you can support us at $10 a month, if you can support us at $20 a month, that goes a long way to meeting the goal this morning, because we will credit the entire amount right now. If you can give us $5, many people have pledged and said, hey, this is all I can give. We are grateful and we are so appreciative of it. We also know there are folks that are doing very well still who are not impacted that can give much more. So there might be someone else there who can knock out the whole $575 or more and we'll be golden. You know, I'm going to just put it out there. I'm waiting for that $1,000 call. We've gotten several this week. I'm waiting for that $1,000 call for the Collision, because they are just that precious, just that important. 800-222-9739. Oh, and Kevin in Hyattsville pledges in honor of our dear brother, the departed Dr. Jesse McDade Bay. He spoke truth about power to power all day, every day, right on 8th Street. So, yes, indeed, they are invoking his spirit this morning, Kevin. We appreciate that. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. You may not be able to get down to the AFL-CIO tomorrow. You may not be able to get to any protest just because of life demands. We get it. But one way you can be an activist, one way you can support the movement for liberation for us all is by supporting the radio station that supports the liberation and gives you the liberatory educational tools, the political analysis for you to get involved. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org, $475 to go. Gentlemen?
That was amazing, Katia. Thank you so much for that. I want to add one thing. You talked about truth, and you talked about keeping it 100 right now in Washington, D.C., with everything that's happening. I want everyone on the air to know that my wife, who's a public school teacher, had to deal with ICE on her school grounds this morning out of nowhere, showing up to try to pull. They were going after parents, like literally in their cars, trying to get them out of their cars as they're dropping their teenagers off at school. Wow. I mean, it's unbelievable that this is our country, but it's all too believable at the same time. And yes, they were masked. Yes, my wife had her phone out. Yes, she was asking them if they were really ICE or just trying to kidnap people because they're not showing badges. Faces are covered. She reported it to a committee that they have in the school in case such a thing happens. Imagine being a parent. Like, my mom, like, signed up for, like, potluck dinners. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Now you're signing up to keep the federal government off the kids. It's crazy. Yes. Where we're at.
Where did the potluck dinners go?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, the money's now going to bail, I guess. Oof. Or lawyers. It's like finite funds.
Right.
And, I mean, why am I saying this story right now? Not just because it's on my mind and I'm worried and will they come back and all the stuff. Yeah, phones blowing up, all this stuff. Not only that, that's not the reason why I'm saying it. I'm saying it because the ICE technique was taught in Israel.
Yeah. Mm.
To visiting police chiefs, counterinsurgency, mask wearing, intimidation, the whole thing, even school zones. So when we talk about protesting around Gaza, I always view it as we're protesting against a global authoritarianism that's being projected on national minorities for the purposes of both scapegoating and distraction, but also just straight up racism and oppression.
That is absolutely correct. And, you know, it doesn't get enough attention. Every single police chief of every major metropolitan area has gone over to Israel to learn how to better oppress predominantly black and brown people here, but poor white as well. The way Gazans are treated. Gaza is a laboratory. Chris Small said Gaza is a laboratory. That is absolutely correct. And people need to understand that even when I remember being down in Ferguson, the police chief went to Israel about 9 months before Ferguson. The D.C. police.
That's so crazy. I'm sorry. But we have to distinguish between, like, the New York City police chief or the Boston police chief.
Yeah.
They're even bringing the Ferguson police chief.
The little tiny Ferguson police chief went 9 months
earlier. Gets to go to Israel for free, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, they all go for free. It's a racket. You know, there's a great report. I first learned about it. I think Jewish Voice for Peace and others. I was at a police terror protest. I think it's 2019 or 18. And they wrote a report called The Deadly Exchange, between the United States and Israel. And so what we're fighting is the international policing system. But there's a lot of data. There's a lot of reporting on it. And fake civil rights organizations like the ADL, which are really central to backing police, they come and they have maybe a different view here, but they're a racist organization. They're very involved in those endeavors and have been. And Jewish Voice for Peace was really challenging the ADL. And I would say Jewish Voice for Peace is a real Jewish-led organization that honors Judaism, not Zionism, not authoritarianism, and not fascism.
Mm. Let me ask you this. Are y'all surprised that you haven't heard more athletes speak out on ICE?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of athletes where this directly impacts, and I'm not going to, you know, name any, but I've reached out to quite a few athletes, you know what I mean, myself to see, and nothing. Like, I haven't really heard anything. I didn't get response to the ones, just particularly on ICE and what their families, I'm sure, are dealing with, and their loved ones and their friends and people that look like them are specifically dealing with. And yet, there's just been silence.
You go ahead, Chuck.
Oh, man, I am. I can't say I'm surprised when it comes to Palestine. They probably got all their agents saying, don't say that. We heard the Dwight Howard story. He got a call from the commissioner like the next day when he said, or 10 minutes later when he said, free Palestine. But shout out to your Kyrie Irvings. Shout out to your Jaylen Browns for rocking the keffiyehs and all of that. That aside, I don't see a huge downside to ICE, okay? I really, really don't. Yes, you're going to lose your Trumpian fan base or whatnot. So I would hold athletes particularly accountable in that area, though I'd like to see every athlete speak as freely as we do. I do understand they get their agents all up in their ear. But yeah, I think this affects like every single community in a very obvious way. And we see it. We see the visuals. We see the mass agents. So, yeah, I thought we would hear more. That's my answer. Yes. And I'm rarely surprised at athletic silence.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this question, a quick on the spot trivia question. Mm-hmm. The number one number of Major League Baseball players are people born in the United States. Number two, very close behind, actually, is the Dominican Republic, which is frankly incredible given that it's smaller than New York City population-wise. Right. And what's third? Here's my question. What's third? You got the U.S., you got the Dominica. What's third?
That's a good question. I'm not sure about that one.
What about you,
I'm
Chuck?
I'm giving it to Etan.
The answer is Venezuela.
Oh.
That means you've got Venezuelan players in every locker room. Like, it's a large number. It's a huge baseball area. They have the academies. Chavez really pissed off Major League Baseball because he nationalized them.
Right.
And made them teach like actual school and not just baseball. But they're, you know, they are people, I'm sure, who are living in serious fear right now.
Oh,
for
yeah.
themselves, for their families back home, and for their families here in the States. And so what I'm really looking for, and let's also be real here, there are teams now in the sport of Jackie Robinson that don't even have Black American players on them.
Right.
You know, because the population of players and because of who knows what else. So I'm asking a question that we all asked around the Black Lives Matter movement, but it needs to be asked again. Where are the white American athletes willing to say, my Venezuelan teammate lives in fear?
Mm.
And I believe that your team is your family. How dare you, Donald Trump, terrorize my teammate? The absence of that statement is the one that hurts my heart.
Oh, I definitely agree. And one of the things that, you know, giving so much props to the WNBA, you know, a book, I interviewed Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart, and that's what they specifically said, what you just said, like, how dare you, and why they had this invested interest in the Black Lives Matter movement, even though it wasn't necessarily pertaining to them. They weren't the ones being harassed by the police or living in fear or having their loved ones killed and murdered and coming into practice crying. They talked about all that, but they took offense because it was the lives of their teammates. So that's why but and I'm glad you make that point, because we haven't heard that either. And we should hear that from athletes of, you know, and not just talking about just baseball in particular, but I mean, the NBA just started. It's a wonderful, and you know, games, everything like that. But there are a lot of people of Hispanic descent in the NBA where you can have people speak on their behalf as well. I mean, it's happening in every single city. I mean, I told you when I went to the Mystics, we're leaving the Mystics, we see the checkpoints right there. We see them taking Spanish people right there, looking in my car, okay, nah, you're okay, keep going. You know what I mean? And literally the next car over, some Spanish people, they tell them to go to the side. It's, and I'm sure this is happening in different NBA arenas. I'm sure it's happening in LA. I'm sure it's happening in Texas. But the people, the stories that I hear from my friends in Tulsa, especially the teachers, like you're talking about your wife, that's going on in the Tulsa public schools, and the way that ICE is coming in there, they're literally afraid to send their kids to school. So a lot of the Mexican population and Hispanic population are keeping their kids home. They're not even going to school. So now they're trying to homeschool, trying to figure out that, because they're terrified of sending them to school in fear of what happened to your wife, I guess this morning, what happened to their children. And that's the fear. And that's terrible to stay silent when something like that is happening. I don't understand the silence.
I'm going to make it my mission to figure this out, Etan, because it is getting a little bit outrageous at this point. It's one thing to not just make a statement against, say, Trumpism, because maybe they're not comfortable doing that and right. inciting that crowd. But there are a lot of people in that Trumpist circle who also are wondering whether they want masked, badgeless people pulling kids out of cars. Let's not get that twisted. Right. And so we need to start speaking about that. But I digress. What we also need to speak about is WPFW. I just want to turn it to Katia to see if we've gotten any response there on the old phone line.
Well,
588-9739.
Well, you know, as a matter of fact, you have. And it's because of the kind of reporting you're doing right now, the discussion you're having right now, the things that are on all of our minds, you all are articulating and really challenging all of us to do better, to do more. So we have a friend outside of in Silver Spring. Thank you so much. We also have Mr. Joseph Gossman out of Arlington, Virginia. John out of D.C., he says, I am one of those furloughed and wish I could contribute more, but do believe in what WPFW stands for as well as for the collision, in the collision. Thank you, John. We also have Ramon out of Fort Washington. Ramon has done quite a bit of work during this pledge drive. Thank you so much for being in solidarity. We also have a friend who says, on behalf of furloughed feds, who cannot afford to donate right now, they are sending a donation. Beautiful friend. That's how we keep each other safe. 800-222-9739. We look out for each other. We stand in solidarity with each other. WPFWFM.org. $230 to go, folks. Such an easy lift. We have 10 minutes left in the hour. We can get it together and 5 minutes left for you to hear more from the collision. So I'm going to get out the way. But again, 2:30 to go. Let's make this goal. You're doing beautifully. Let's keep it going. 800-222-9739 or WPFWFM.org.
Well, time to put it all on the line then. I bet people give some dough for what I'm about to say. I'm throwing it to Etan. Etan, with metaphysical certainty,
no.
I am telling you that the New York Knicks are going to be in the NBA Finals.
Oh, you're getting an argument from me. I mean, I'm sitting there looking at them, and they didn't have Josh Hart last night, and I like what I see. I'm excited to see. And honestly, it's interesting because, you know, the Cavs are the other team. You know what I mean? And Donovan Mitchell looked great. Not going to tell you anything. I'm like, well, how did he not end up in New York? Like, what happened with that? Like, who dropped the ball? You know, I always would have blamed James Dolan. But I'm like, who dropped the ball with this? But,
I'm happy with Jalen Brunson.
No. It wasn't one or the other, though. They could have had both, right?
That would have been interesting. Yeah. That would have been wild. Good point. What a backcourt that would have been. My goodness.
Man.
But and other notable news from last night, I'll just throw this out there too. Victor Wembanyama, I mean, 40 points in 30 minutes.
Wow.
No turnovers, double deep, like 17 rebounds, 3 blocks, ready to make this league his. I mean, making a player whose defense I respect deeply, Anthony Davis, just, I hate to say it, just looks small.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Anthony Davis we're talking about, not, you know, Kelly Olynyk. Sorry, Kelly.
Hey. Why Kelly?
Hey. Because of what he did with Kelly Oubre 10 years ago. I'm still mad.
Man, I remember that, too. Yeah, that's a long memory, Dave.
Man. You know, no one keeps a grudge like Dave Zirin.
No, I was watching that with my son, who was like 7 at the time. He leapt off the sofa, little fist clenched, ready to fight for Kelly Oubre.
It's true.
But, so we're going to actually, I think I should tell folks, you know, this is going to be a regular part of the collision, because a lot of times there's all these NBA games, people have their busy lives. We're going to pick out some of these peak performances and really highlight them for you folks. I mean, this is just frankly, fellas, I hope that's okay. This is an idea that just came to me, because people can be overwhelmed with the box scores and the standings. And sometimes you might miss something like, whoa, this rookie Edgecombe from the Sixers just scored more points in a debut game than anybody since Wilt Chamberlain in 1959.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. VJ Edgecombe coming just into the league like a 26-year-old man. It's just wild to me. So we're going to be doing things like that for y'all. So you don't lose the plot of what's going to be, I think, a really fun season. But, you know, with that, that to me is just another reason why folks should support the collision. I'm going to ask Katia Stitt if there's any words that she would like to say as we wrap up the show.
Just keep it coming. Keep it coming. We're still at 230, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. This is your program, The Collision. And by supporting WPFW, you make the space for The Collision to be here. You make the space for us to speak truth about power. You make the space for us to unpack all of these issues that we see around us, all of these issues that are impacting us. So please keep this great experiment of WPFW going since 1977. You have. And keep The Collision going. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org.
And if 2027, I assume we're just going to have the party of all parties, Katia.
We absolutely are. We're planning now, and we'll be talking to you gentlemen as well. So, you know, stay
tuned. I mean, like 48 hours long. You don't turn the lights off.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Energy drinks.
Yes, exactly. It's going to be a rave. A rave for WPFW.
For 50 years. I volunteer to DJ. No, not really. I don't no idea about that music. But if we have a couple more minutes, Chuck, I got to throw it to you because, and this is the kind of reporting that people should support, 202-588-9739. Chuck, I had to go speak at a memorial on Saturday, frankly, for an elder who taught me about Palestine. It was something I needed to do. It also meant that I missed No Kings. And I would love your assessment. We only have a couple of minutes, but I trust you politically with my life, man. So this demo's gotten a lot of publicity, some critiques. What did you see out in these streets?
I mean, I always have a dual assessment on things like this because, you know what, we want to stop Trump's fascism. There's no doubt about it. Let's be clear about that. We know Trump is a fascist, Stephen Miller, all of them. But at the same time, we want to be as inclusive as possible. If you're talking about fascism, you're not talking about Congo, you're not talking about Palestine, then your lens is incomplete. So as somebody who tries to interview people, I try to interview people who have the keffiyeh on, who are crashing the party, who are telling the truth, but the whole truth and all of fascism. So for me, it's an opportunity, right? Yes, it's imperfect opportunity because there are people there who are desperate to stop fascism, but we have to help make sure we tell the whole picture. And so we got to go.
Oh, we got to go. 202-588-9739. That's 202-588-9739. Support The Collision. Support WPFW. Everybody stay frosty. We are out of here. Peace.
Good news, family. You can now take WPFW everywhere you go with our brand new WPFW radio app. Stream Jazz and Justice live, listen to archived shows, view the program schedule and playlists, donate, and more, all right from your phone. Download the WPFW radio app today from Apple App or Google Play Stores. WPFW in your pocket. Jazz and Justice wherever you are.
The annual Jazz Hop Sound Sessions returns to historic Anacostia on Saturday, October 25th from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. along Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue and Marion Barry Avenue Southeast. Anacostia will become the stage for live music, poetry, local art, and continuous rhythm for the entire day. Presented by the Anacostia Arts and Culture District, the Jazz Hop Sound Sessions celebrates the intersection of art and the beat of D.C. Details at artthegogo.org.
Since I moved here 25 years ago, WPFW has been my mainstay when I came from California, and I've been listening to WPFW ever since. It is a mainstay. It is my survival. It's on. My radio is on in the dining room 24/7. I have learned so much from being a member and listener, a loyal listener of WPFW. My education in jazz has just exploded. I really think it's gold mine and people should support it. And there's nothing like it. Listen to WPFW, you'll only grow and you'll only be supported. I'm Kathleen Bateau and I'm a proud listener of WPFW.
To get WPFW swag in your life? I don't just say I support Jazz and Justice without saying a word. We've got you covered. details and browsing at WPFWFM.org. Again, that's WPFWFM.org.
WPFW has offered inspiring music, poignant stories, and critical journalism for over 48 years. Whether reminiscing while hearing Nina Simone or learning about the harm done due to gross global inequity, WPFW has been the soundtrack for moments of revolution.